We know this is the second Sunday. Is that right? First Sunday. This is the first Sunday of the new year, and tomorrow will be the second Monday of the year, right? No, it'll be the second Tuesday, come Tuesday. So we're glad that you're here. Some of you are back to join us that have visited in the last few weeks. We thank you for being here. We're glad to have you back. Some of you may be here for the first time, and hopefully you got a warm greeting and you have a bulletin, and in that bulletin you'll find a Connect card. Fill out that Connect card and turn it in at the Connection Center on your way out. And we have a very special gift for you just for being with us today. We're not going to harass you or anything like that, but we would just like to get to know you just a little bit better. So thank you for being here today. This whole month of January, I want to continue to cast some vision, or the vision, or a vision for this year 2019. I believe that with every passing year, and as we draw closer to the coming of the Lord, that we are seeing we are more susceptible to more and more exciting times. And in that, I just believe that 2019 could very well be the most exciting time in your Christian life that you've ever experienced. And I believe it could be the most exciting year in Voice of Praise Worship Center that we've ever experienced. But I want to preach a message that's been on my heart for over a year now. For over a year now, this message, this thought set we here until we die. Miss Sarah, Heath, can you do a favor for me? Go over there and flip that bass amp off. I can hear it roaring, sir. Why sit we here until we die? And as we go into 2 Kings chapter 7, I want to read these verses of scripture to you. It says, now there were four men with leprosy at the entrance of the city gate. At the entrance of the gate. They said to each other, they hadn't gone in yet. They were just at the entrance of the gate. And they said to each other, why stay here until we die? What's the point? If we say we'll go into the city, famine is there. And we will die. And if we stay here at the entry gate, guess what's going to happen? We will die. So let's go over to the camp of the Arameans and surrender. Arameans, of course, you don't surrender to somebody unless they're considered like an enemy, right? So let's go over to the camp of the Arameans and surrender. If they spare us, we live. And if they kill us, then we die. So I want you to join me this morning as we examine these scriptures. And I want us to look and realize first off at the distinction or the distinctive point that we're dealing with four lepers. Lepers, if you would, or people with leprosy, were a threat having no value to society, at least in that day. Nobody wanted them. Nobody wanted them close. They had to stay back a specific number of feet. Nobody wanted them. In fact, lepers would be banished out of society into colonies or outside of the city into the barren wasteland. And so if you would, I've never watched the show, don't know anything about it. I just heard the title of it, okay? But the lepers were walking dead long before that TV show came on Sunday nights. So we find these four men that were banished. They were walking dead. Homiletically, lepers have been used as a type of sin, but in reality is that is not necessarily true. That is not necessarily necessarily sound doctrine. It's sort of unfounded, if you would. These lepers were hopeless. They didn't have any hope. We can see that as we examine the scripture I read to you this morning. They really didn't have much hope. They said, if we go in, we die. If we stay here, we're going to die. If we go over there to the Arameans, we might die. So we find that there was not a great deal of hope that engaged them or that they looked to. In reality, though, these lepers, you know what? They were just good, everyday people that had found themselves, given to unfortunate circumstances of the disease that had gripped their body and being in a society that didn't know how to handle it, rightfully so. So they didn't know of medications. They didn't know of hospital treatments. So the right thing to do is to banish them from society according to the law, and that way the disease wouldn't spread through the people. But yet, these weren't really bad people at all. But I've got good news for you. There was and there is hope for the lepers. There was and there is hope for the lepers. So as we look at these four lepers, we look at them and they have three options. The three options that we're going to look at this morning in this message is this. The first thing they could have done was retreat back into the city. They said, if we go back into the city, we know that we are going to die there because the city was under famine. People were dying of starvation. They were dying for the lack of food and of the lack of water. Nobody can survive there. The city was on its way to total destruction, if you would, from the means of famine and starvation. So they thought about, we can retreat back. It's obvious that that entered their mind. But because of the starvation in the city was not only filled with starvation, but it was also filled with more disease than leprosy. Because dead bodies were no doubt laying in houses and laying in streets, and they were decaying openly, and flies and perhaps animals were devouring the decaying flesh. And we don't like to think about things like that because it doesn't sound too pretty. And death was everywhere in the city. And they knew if we return and we retreat back to where we came from, it is certain death. And you know, for us, for you as individuals, me as an individual, for us as a church, it's always good to think about, well, we could always go back and we could do this over, or I can always go back to where I came from. I could always go back to the lifestyle that I once lived. I could always go back into where I was before. But the reality of it is, and when we go back, that is where we will find the stench. That is where we will find death. That is where we will find famine that God gloriously saved us out of and glorious has redeemed us out of. So what or why would we want to really go back? Why would we really want to go back to what we once were? Then they thought, well, we could stay here at the gate. And if we stay here at the gate, we remain the same. You know, I think I've shared this in past messages. I'm sure I have. But you know, when you examine the word death and what death means, you know what death actually means when dissected? It means when you cease to change. You know, every one of us in this room, we are changing. We have changed. And we will be changing until the point that our bodies continue to function, and we call that death. And at that point in time, our bodies will cease to change anymore. Anything that is not changing is dead. If your life, if your Christian life, my Christian life, if it is not changing, then in fact we are spiritually dead. If our church is not changing, if we are not moving and shaking and advancing and going into new things, then you know what happens? Yeah, you know, we are spiritually dead. You know, I mentioned that movie, you know, The Walking Dead, and I've never watched it, so I really don't know too much of what it's about. The name gives me an idea. But you know, in reality, I think there's a lot of walking dead in the church. Not just in this building, not what I'm saying. I'm talking about the church as a whole. There's a lot of walking dead. There's people that are serving God, but they're not changing, and they're not growing, and they're not moving, and they're not coming into the newness. And remember, those of you that was here last week, I preached a message about dropping the jawbone of the donkey, how Samson, once he had defeated the 1,000 Philistines, he dropped the jawbone of the donkey because it was not what God intended for the next battle. And God doesn't intend us to go forward in that, with everything that we did yesterday. We celebrate those times. We celebrate those victories, whether they're your personal ones or they're the corporate victories of the church. But yet, we must understand that God is calling us into new days. Every single day is a new day. Every single day that passes becomes history. And it becomes a new day. And God is calling us into new things. And God calls us into new ways of doing ministry. The same Word of God. The Word of God is unchanging. But the way God wants us to use us is changing every single day. If not, if we have ceased to change, then we're dead. They said, we could stay here at this gate. And you see, they were planted there at the gate hoping that something would come out the gate that maybe they could find to eat on or something. They were waiting for somebody to just throw their garbage outside the gate, so to speak. And they're thinking, maybe there's a little glimmer of hope. But in reality, they knew if they stayed there, if they remained at the city gate, they were going to die. Because nothing was changing. Nothing was changing. But then, I wanted to use ours, okay? So then they made a decision. They discussed it among the four of themselves. And they made a decision. Well, you know what? Tell you what we can do. We can roll forward. We're not going to go back into the city. We're not going to stay here at the gate. We're going to roll on. That's an old secular song that says, roll on, buddy, roll on. And they decided, we're going to roll on. We're going to roll on. We're not going to stay here. But what happens is that they are going, and we realize when we read this story, the Arameans are apparently the enemy, because you don't surrender to somebody but the enemy. And I'm not suggesting that we surrender to the enemy, but what this is saying to us is there is a great uncertainty about where we're going. You know, and part of the difficulty that we often have as Christians is that we like to know for sure. But in this rolling forward, in this going forward with these four lepers, understand with me that what they actually decided to do, their decision to go to the Arameans' camp, was a decision that was a faith decision. You see, faith is based on things that we don't know for sure. They knew if they went back in the city that we're going to die. They knew if we stay here, if we remain the same, we're going to die. But we're going to do something we haven't never been before. We're going to go someplace we've never been before. We're going to go to the camp of the Arameans, and there we don't know what's going to happen. They might love on us. They might like us. You know, their hope was that they would perhaps be put into slavery, no doubt. But they are also aware of they may just simply kill us. But in spite of the uncertainty of going into the camp of the Arameans, they made a decision to go forward. Well, let me tell you something about the Arameans. The Arameans are, in present day, they're called Bedouins. The Arameans are people of the desert. Aramean, as it was the region of present day, mostly present day Syria, which is desert. And it was desert back then. These were people that were nomads. They roamed around the country. They didn't stay too long at one place. But you know, sometimes, and I'm not suggesting that you start church hopping. I think, you know, it's good to find a good place to settle down. But what happens to us in our Christian life? We find a place where we're satisfied, and then, you know, we can pull out what, I don't remember the page number, some of them I remember. 120's Victory in Jesus. I don't remember what page. I shall not be moved in. But sometimes we'll get to that place in our spiritual life where we'll sing, I shall not be moved. And we find ourselves in a place of satisfaction. Then we find ourselves, if you would, not changing. And remember what not changing means? Not changing means death. Wow. Good preaching, Pastor. Here.
Thank you.
So we find ourselves living in the circumstance where we're not moving into everything that God has for us, and we're not accomplishing everything that He wants to do through us, not for us, okay? Hello? Not for us, but through us for the kingdom of God. These Arameans were on the move. They were nomads. They were always on the move. They weren't caught up in the social economic hubbub of the time. They didn't worry about what went on in the city. They didn't worry about what even went on in the church down the road. Hello? You see, that's our problem sometimes. We worry too much about what goes on in the church down the road. I just heard that pin drop. And we worry because we want to be like them. But God's not called us to be like them. And we got off on this morning in life group, and it wasn't intentional. I can promise you that. I'm not the one that, I don't think I was the one brought it up. Did I bring it up? Maybe I did. But it wasn't intentional in that. But the reality of it is, God has just called us to be and to do what He wants us to do. But He's not called us to go back into the city. He's not called us to sit at the gate. But He's called us to move out in faith into what He is wanting us to be. And these four lepers had a willingness. I'm dated, okay? Hey, I grew up in, listen to me. When I was in the youth group, all the young people went and sat in the sanctuary on Sunday morning, okay? We did youth group on Sunday evening. So I know all this stuff. And when I was in youth group, I used to be up front and sit on one of the front choir pews and play my banjo along with the piano, which usually it didn't fit so awful good, but that's what I did at 13 or 14 years old. And here's what happened. We also sung not only "I Shall Not Be Moved," but there was a song that was also sung that said, "I surrender all. I surrender all. Savior, I surrender all." You see what? These four lepers, they were willing to surrender. Even though they didn't know what was happening. They had no promise that they would live. They had no promise they would survive. They didn't even have a promise of being put into slavery. But they were willing to surrender in faith because they knew that that is the only place where their hope did lie. For you and I, there's only one place our hope does lie. And my hope, my confidence lies in none other than Jesus Christ. And Him alone. And He sent us, the church, and He sent you, and He sent me, the comforter, or the abiding presence, if you would, of the Holy Ghost, where we can surrender to Him. And as we surrender to Him, He will mold us, shape us, use us in whatever we... But we must surrender. When I surrender to somebody, let me tell you what that means. To the will of another. You can't surrender and do your thing, neither can I. That was another good one. Pat me. You cannot do your will and do God's will at the same time. None of us can. I can't. So when we talk about surrender, we talk about, Lord, I let go of my preferences, I let go of my likes, I let go of my dislikes, I let go of my opinions, I let go of everything that my mama said. And I let go of everything that Granddaddy Joe used to do. And I don't pick on them some more today. We saw them this week and spent some time with them. And we let go of Kathy Mathenas Pugh. I should have told her. Yeah. And we begin to let go of things and we begin to release things. And we say, God, it's not about my will, but it's about your will. It's not about my preference, but it's about your preference. And we begin to roll forward in our personal lives and in our church into what God has for us. But why sit we here? Why sit we here until we die? Because what God has called us to do, He's called us to share the joy. Because here's what happens. When you read out the rest of this chapter, you'll find out that these four leper boys, they make their way down to the camp of the Arameans. Now, listen, that camp's moving. It's moving. It's shaking, man. It's going all the time. Listen, the Church of God is alive. Not the denomination. Yeah, well, the denomination is alive too. But the Church... The Church of God is alive. God's church has to surrender to it. When they get down there, they're not killed. They're not hung up by their toenails. They're not even put into slavery. They're accepted. And now let me tell you why. It's because the Arameans weren't there. Because God had made a way that the Arameans had become frightened and they vacated their camp in the wee hours of the morning. And when these four lepers get there, here's a whole camp. I can see little tents, little teepees. There's trunks full of treasures and there's sacks with food in them and their skins full of water. And all of a sudden these four lepers said, man, we done come down here and there's nobody here. And all of this is ours. You see, when we react in faith, we just need to trust God for when we get there because He gave them all the spoils. And He not only gave these four guys all the spoils, you know, I can tell these four guys probably weren't Pentecostals. Okay? I can tell that. I can tell these four guys weren't Pentecostals because what us Pentecostals do is, I'm going to go get me a blessing. I'm going to go get me a blessing. I need a blessing. And we're all about a consumer mindset as Pentecostals. I need me a blessing. I got to get me a blessing. I want a blessing. I need to be a... we don't say I need to be a blessing, do we? Most of the time. But what happens is they get down there and they find all the spoils of the camp and all of a sudden, it dawns on them, we need to go back and tell somebody about all this. And they begin to go back and they share the word. In other words, they share the joy of what God has done. Everybody else is back there is fixing to die. Let's go back and tell them they don't have to worry about dying. They can come down here and what would have been evil for us, we went to it in faith and God used it. And now there's enough for all of us to split it up and everybody have some. They begin to share the joy. But it took faith. And it took a vision and it took a decision that said, I am not going to sit here until I die. So you and I have before us a choice. We can choose to retreat and go back. You can go back to where you came from. The church can go back to where it would have remained the same. You know, several years ago, I sat through a class and as I sat through that class one thing that was brought out in the class, is that, you know, thinking about that walking dead, do you know if my grandma, my grandpa, my great grandma, my great granddaddy, you know what, if they were to come back from the dead, come back to the earth, which is not going to happen now. Only if they were right with Jesus, they will come in the clouds. But if they could come back to life, if they could come back and, you know, we went and watched Spider-Man movie yesterday with our grandson and Zach and you know, and it was the whole concept was Spider-Man was taken into a different dimension and he remembers his past life but he recognizes he's in another dimension way out in the future somewhere. If we could bring our ancestors back, you know what? They would just go stark raving mad. You know, not only with a handheld phone, but let alone a cell phone. You realize they wouldn't know what to think about color TV. Some of them not even TV at all. You know, some of them wouldn't know what to do with cars with GPS. Some of them wouldn't even know what to do with a car at all. Some of them would be marveled unless you could be like Sarah's Aunt Lenny. Aunt Lenny, her daddy took her up in Tazewell County to a place called Horsepen, and Lenny said, they've ruined this place. They paved all the roads. But you know, the reality is, if our ancestors could come back, if our ancestors could come back from a generation, especially two generations, you know, the most comfortable place they could find is the church. A few that I was taken to, I was delivered to for Sunday school as a small boy. And I went in and I talked to the rector or the pastor of that church and I said, and they were given an appreciation dinner and I was invited to that dinner and I was talking to him and I said, you know, I used to go here when I was a little boy and I used to tell him I remember going up, you know, being in such room upstairs and I can remember, you know, had the junior choir. I was part of the junior choir, had my white robe and had my little palm leaf on Palm Sunday. I remember all that stuff and I was telling the pastor all about that. I said, I'd really love to see it again if you don't mind. He said, absolutely not. He said, I don't mind you going up there looking around all you want. He said, but I can tell you this. I said, what that? He says, nothing has changed. Everything is still done the same as it was 40 years ago. But see, God's calling us to move and to work and to roll into something different. So, I think there's something important to be learned here. We can't go forward while we're traveling back. We can't go right while we're going left. There's no way. And to sit idle, biblically, we're given that it has negative characteristics. So who are these four lepers anyway? Who are these guys? Quite honestly, what does it matter? Well, I think there's a little bit of importance to it. Who were these lepers? Well, it was Gehazi and his three sons. If you go to 2 Kings 7 and 3, you'll find out that Gehazi, if you remember, was the hand servant of the prophet Elisha. And when Elisha said to Naaman, go dip yourself in Jordan. He was a leper and he came up healed. Gehazi tried to capitalize off the healing of Naaman. And when he did, then Gehazi and his sons became cursed with the same disease that Naaman had. So Gehazi and his four sons were four men that had walked, if you would, by the hand in hand, the servants of God, because Elisha is a type of Christ, if you would. So that's important to us this morning because Gehazi and his three sons, though they had leprosy, God gave them opportunity to make a decision in what they would do. They could have decided to go back into the city and die. They could have said, well, we're dissatisfied where we're at. We'll just die right here. We're going to set up a little camp at the gate of the city. We'll die here. But they, in faith, moved out into something that was totally unknown to them. And God blessed them, and the abundance was so great, it began to spill out. Now, here's the thing about Gehazi, is when you read, as you go on over into 2 Kings, you will find that Gehazi once again is reunited with his master, if you would, and is actually eating with him, which tells us that Gehazi got healed of the leprosy that he had. So in moving forward, in making a decision, I'm not going to go back and die, I'm not going to stay here and die, but I'm going to move into something else. Not only were they blessed with supply, but these four lepers were healed. They were made whole. And here's the funny thing. Isn't this funny? The name Gehazi actually means Valley of Vision. Vision means reputation or revelation. And where there is no vision or revelation, people perish. And if we don't, if we can't realize, if you can realize this morning, every single one of us in this room has a little Gehazi in us. And four speaks to me of multiples, of corporate presence, if you would. Every church has a little Gehazi in it. And he's three boys. And if we realize that God has called us into vision, God has called us to move into what He has for us. So we find ourselves with a decision. Do I go back? Do I just stay here? Or do I move into what God has for me, even though I may not really know what it is? What decisions do I make? What do I do? Do I make my decision on what I know for a fact of the matter? Well, if it is, as pertains to this illustration, you may as well call, metaphorically call, Craven Shares. Because if we go into what we know, and if we go into what has been, then and we find ourselves, or we're dissatisfied. I'm saved and satisfied. I listened to a pastor the other day, and this pastor the other day, he said that he had a church, and when he took that church, the church only had six people in it. And as the church only had six people in it, the church grew. And see, sometimes we think our growth may come slow. But this pastor had six people when he got there. He's been there 8 years, and now he's grown to 25 people. And he said, "Now I've run into a problem." He said, "Because my 25 people, they are telling me we don't want to grow anymore. In fact, We would like to go back to where we once were. Because this is too hard, and it's asking too much of us. But when we begin to utilize faith, and we begin to think in faith, and we begin to realize that the certainty of circumstances is not faith at all. But God, take me into what I can't see. Take me into what I don't know. Take me into those things that I don't realize and I can't understand." We're stepping into life and we're avoiding death. I just want you to bow your heads with me right now. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed, I got a question for you. We're still very early in this new year. In this new year, it's still a good time. In fact, any time is a good time to make your call and election sure. But if you're in this place today and you don't know Jesus, I want to ask you a question. Would you like to know Him? You can go back to where you were. You can stay the same. But you're surely going to die. Or you can decide, hey, I'm going to move into... I don't know what God has for me. Maybe you've become complacent. Maybe you're cold and indifferent. Maybe you've backslidden on God and you say, I need to renew myself. I need to step out. I need to renew my dedication with the Lord. If that's you, or if you're unsaved this morning, I want to ask you this question. Would you just raise your hand without any embarrassment? I'm not going to call you out. I'm not going to point you out or embarrass you. But would you say, "Pastor, just pray for me. I need to be saved, or I need to rededicate my life today." Is there one person in this room? Thank you. Is there another? Is there another? Voice of Praise Worship Center, I want you to look at me right now. Tremendous church. We have a great church. But I want us to have a church that is alive. Voice of Praise Worship Center, I want to ask you, how many of you want to live? You don't want to stay there till you die. Can you testify? I don't want to stay here till I die. Amen. Amen. So we move into what God has us for. And we step into the unknown and into a world of uncertainty, just like these four lepers did. Which the head leper, if you would, his name actually means Valley of Vision. So God, we're just moving into what you want us to do. The one that raised their hand wanting to rededicate their life. Mary, I know we're going to have special prayer for you. I urge you to come. And I want everybody else that can and will, I want you to come up to this altar. And we're going to fill up this altar for a time of prayer. And we're just going to believe that God is just going to move and work. And He's going to minister among us and do some great things. Not just today, but into this year. Because I choose to live. I choose to live. I choose to live and shall not die.